opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
About to commence.
Well, good morning, Reading. Welcome to Free Fire Radio, the great station in the North State. This is Ron Largent. I'm filling in today for Carl and Linda. They're away for the Easter weekend. And so I will be your host for the next couple hours. Looking forward to it. We have a great program lined up on this beautiful Good Friday morning. And for those of you that didn't hear Bob earlier, current temperature is about 47 degrees out there in Reading. And out in the Palisito area, when I left this morning, it was about 43. So it's a nice cool morning out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. And welcome to our Good Friday program and to the Good Friday activities going on all over town. Again, I'm Ron Largent, sitting in for Carl and Linda. So we're going to have a great program today. We're going to start off with hearing a little from our great friends down at Haven Humane. Spencer's in here, and he's got a good little dog. And we'll have Spencer on in just a moment. Then we're going to talk sports for a while with Kyle DeFore. Then at 8 o'clock, Larry Vaupel coming in from the City of Reading, our new development director at City of Reading. And then we're going to wrap up with one of our supervisors. Pam Giacomoni is coming in from District 3. Pam is a great friend of ours and a great supervisor, doing a wonderful job. And she's going to bring us up to date on what's going on in the county these days, especially out in her area, which is to the east of us. So welcome to all of you, and we wish you a very good Friday, and let's get on with our show today. Spencer from Haven Humane is here. Spencer, welcome.
Good morning.
And you have a good friend with you there. Tell us about your companion.
So this morning I brought with me Little Pretty. She is a 1.5-year-old pit bull English bulldog mix. Pretty came into our shelter several months ago as a stray, and when she came in, she was very frightened of the whole situation. If you think of an animal shelter from a dog's point of view, it's actually a pretty scary place. There's random people, random dogs. They don't know what's going on. And so when she first came in, she was so terrified that when we temperament tested her, we actually rated her for a home with no children, just because of how scared she was of the whole situation. Thankfully, we were able to find her a foster home, a great family that was able to take her home. They fostered her for about 2 months. They brought her back recently, about 2 weeks ago, and she's a completely different dog.
Wow, that's great.
We just actually retested her 2 days ago, and she went from being recommended for adults only all the way down to a home with kids 8 and older.
Wow, that's tremendous.
That's a huge, huge improvement for any animal to drop that greatly in the temperament test evaluation.
Well, now that temperament test, that's interesting. I've not heard about that. What form does that take?
So what they do is they do about 40 different things to test the animal to see what kind of reaction they can get out of the animal. They examine their teeth. They give them a hug. They touch their paws. They pet them. They get out what we call a little robo-rat to see how high their prey drive is.
Oh, boy.
We do quite a bit of different things during the temperament test, and based off of the conclusion of all of the different tools that they use during the test, they give them an age recommendation of what they feel that the dog would be best placed around.
Now, you folks do that down at the Haven Humane there. You do the testing.
Correct. And we test every single dog that comes to our shelter.
Do you really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, obviously, you folks have to be trained to do that. What kind of training do you guys go through to get to that place where you can test the dogs?
Well, you know, it's actually done by our COO and our Captain of Animal Regulations, Leanne Smith.
Okay.
We have a new dog trainer on staff, and she recently trained the trainer, Celeste, how to do temperament test evaluation. So, believe it or not, even though we see close to 5,000 animals a year, there are only 2 people doing the temperament test evaluations.
You're busy.
They are very busy.
Well, I know we're going to talk talk a little about what folks can do in terms of coming down to adopt a dog or a cat or an animal in a moment. But I want to ask you a couple of other questions that come up from time to time, because I'm not one that I don't come down there very regularly. I think the last time I was down there, I brought a snake in to have them check it out and so forth that we found on our property. But what is the process? Let's say, for example, we see a stray dog on Victor Avenue, for example. Can folks call you, and will you come and get the dog, or how does that work?
So the way that it works is we do house all of the animals from all of Shasta County.
Okay.
We do have our own animal regulations that is strictly for the city limits of Redding. If you're in the city limits of Redding and you find a stray animal, or you see an animal running loose, or you feel that somebody's abusing or neglecting an animal, you can give us a call. We will promptly send one of our animal control officers out to either pick up the stray, go out and do a welfare check on an animal if it was a neglect situation. We always have animal control officers available 24 hours a day, days a week.
Wow, that's wonderful.
If you are out in the outskirts of, like, say you live up in Shingletown or somewhere that's out in the county area,
okay.
Unfortunately, our animal control is bound by jurisdiction. So our animal control cannot go out to those areas, but we can refer you to the Shasta County Animal Control that will go out to those areas.
Okay, now is that under the Sheriff's Department, or how's that organization work?
The Shasta County Animal Control is run through the Sheriff's Department. They have a lot wider of an area to cover, and unfortunately they have fewer officers. So
Okay. Sometimes
it does take them a little bit longer to respond, but they do their very best and they do a great job at what they do.
Well, now you brought in a pit bull, and of course the pit bull has a great reputation, both good and bad, kind of like Dobermans, of which we have. But now the pit bulls, they can be pretty dangerous if it has to do with their breeding and so forth. But now you have a very tame one here that's been tested and good for the family. But let's say we're out on the street and we have a neighbor that has a pit bull, and that pit bull gets kind of nasty. What can the resident do to involve you guys?
So what you can do is you can give us a call, explain the situation, what's going on. We actually received a call yesterday, a very similar situation. And what our officers will do is we will go out and we will talk with the party that's responsible, you know, that's the owner of the animal. We'll go out to them, explain, you know, that the neighbors are concerned, you know, that they're afraid of that animal.
Right.
We'll explain to them proper ways to handle the animal, to always have it on a leash, don't let it free roam. And anybody that owns a pit bull should be aware of the stereotype that the breed does have against them, and that a lot of people are afraid of the breed just because of the stereotype. And they should take that into account whenever they have that animal out in a public area.
Right. Now, another comment that I heard from a good friend of mine the other day was that they had a barking dog, and the darn dog barked all night, and they were really irritated. So they went over and talked to the neighbor, and the neighbor said, "Well, I didn't notice it. It doesn't bother me." But yet the neighbor was obviously bothered. Can they call you, and can you do the same thing? Can you intervene on their behalf?
Absolutely. We actually get barking complaints all the time. And there is an ordinance in the city of Redding for how long a dog can bark. If it's over that time frame, then obviously we'll send one of our officers out, and we'll address the situation and speak with the owners and try to resolve the problem.
So you guys really do a lot of things. You wear a number of hats, it sounds like.
We do.
Now, I know in my case, as I mentioned, I brought a snake down to have it identified. You do that also. So really, you're kind of open to any kind of animal.
We are, you know, and we receive every kind of animal, too. So I've been there 5 years, and we've received some pretty crazy animals, from snakes to rabbits to guinea pigs, dogs, cats, horses, cows. We have a potbelly pig down there right now.
Do you really? Oh, boy.
We get roosters. I mean, you name it, we get it. Right before my time, we even received a couple alligators.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
In Redding, California.
They were actually shipped through one of the shipping companies, and nobody ever came looking for it. So they called us because the box said live animals on it. And
boy,
lo and behold, there were two alligators in there.
Well, I know oftentimes you guys are referred to as the dog pound. And I want to talk a little about that, because you do a lot more than just take care of being a dog pound. We're going to talk about the adoption process, and we're going to talk about where you're located to get people to come down there. I'm sure you'd be glad to give them a tour.
Absolutely.
So we'll come right back after a couple of moments of talking about our great advertisers, and we'll be right back.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
Blue. Welcome back, Reading. Free Fire Radio in Reading, California, your community radio station here. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, if you have any questions, or would like to make any comments, 530-605-4567. This is Ron Largent. I'm in for Carl and Linda Bott today. They're away for the weekend, and Jared's helping us here technically, doing a great job as usual. And our special guest right now is Spencer from Haven Humane. He's given us some good information, but I know you have a big event coming up, and what we call the Dog Pound is a lot more than that. Haven Humane, what's going on? You have a big event.
So we do have our Dogathon that's coming up. That's coming up in May, our huge event. Tickets are now on sale for that at our website, havenhumane.org. Right now, at this current moment, though, we are running a special card called our Mutt Madness Special.
Oh, boy.
To where every single animal at our shelter, we've reduced the adoption fee by up to 50%.
Wow. Now, when's that going to be?
That is now through April 3rd.
So if they come down to the Haven Humane, and where are you located? So for those that don't know where you are.
So we are located at 7449 East Side Road, which is just a half a mile south of Wind River Casino, on the opposite side of the road. We're really easy to find. If you have any questions, you can always give us a call, too. We can give you directions.
And that number down there is?
It's 530-241-1653.
Well, I know I came down because I know Mark, your CEO, quite well, and I had a tour. I guess it was about a year ago. It was most interesting. First of all, I was extremely impressed with the cleanliness and the sanitation. It was just spotless. And secondly, it did seem like the animals in there were happy.
We do our very best to ensure that they have the best possible life that they can while they're with us.
Lots of food and lots of caring, which dogs and cats and animals love. So can they come down if our listeners would like to and have a tour of the facility?
Absolutely. We would love to give tours to our facility. We would love to show people what we do and what we don't do, you know, dismiss any myths or not truths that you may have about us, you know, because being an animal shelter, unfortunately, there is a lot of negative outlooks and what people believe that we do down there. And unfortunately, a lot of it's not true. A lot of it is just strictly myth.
It's a great facility. Haven Humane, located again down on South 2, off of 273. Your address once again?
7449 East Side Road.
East Side Road, just south of the Wind River on the east side of 273. Spencer, it's been great to have you in, and you've got a beautiful little dog there. Again, what's the name of the dog?
Her name is Pretty.
She is very, very pretty. So if you'd like to see Pretty, Spencer is going to be down at the Haven Humane, and thanks again for coming in. We look forward to this every Friday, and you have a good holiday weekend, and take care of Pretty.
You as well. Thank you for having us.
And we'll take a brief intermission here and then be right back with a little update, and then we're going to talk sports about 7:30. We have Kyle coming in, and Kyle is a great local sportscaster. He's coming into his own very rapidly. I got to know Kyle about a year ago in doing Friday Night Football, and he is a sportscaster excellent. So we are going to talk with him in just a moment. We'll take a break and be right back.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Media. And this is Friday, not Saturday. We have our normal, my normal show is Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10. Please join us. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about one of the athletic clubs here in town. And then also about some upcoming events. And, of course, we have a huge Easter weekend schedule. In fact, that Easter weekend really starts today with Good Friday services. And if you've been alert to what's going on in Reading, you'll see that there is a One Church, One City service going on at Civic Auditorium. It's kind of coordinated by a number of churches. I think the Stirring is kind of in the lead on that. But they have a 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock presentation. Again, it's going to be at the Civic Auditorium. The service is entitled One Church, One City. I'm sure that will be just an outstanding service. And I might also mention for those that are involved with the Bethel Church that their 7 o'clock service is canceled tonight, encouraging you to go over to the Civic Auditorium. And then also at 7 o'clock at the Neighborhood Church of Reading over on Loma Vista, there will be a Good Friday service, followed by a communion service. So there's a lot going on this afternoon to celebrate Good Friday. Well, if you've noticed in the paper, and I'm a big paper reader, I guess a little old-fashioned at times, in that every morning I get up and go down and get my paper, and I do appreciate the Record Searchlight. And today they announced the new RABA, Reading Area Bus Association, plans for service to Cottonwood. This, to me, is significant because if you're down in the Cottonwood area, you can now get on a bus, get all the way downtown, and the bus service is very good. So pick up a copy of the paper today. They have an illustration of the new route with all the times, exactly where the pickup points are. So it's a big improvement for RABA, in my opinion. So it's in the paper. It's well described. And then also, there's an article in the paper that I think we are all interested in, and that is dealing with some of the activity with regards to fishing. And again, it's a lead article, the Winter Run Chinook at Risk, April 1 to August, and it's a headline on the newspaper today, so pick that up if you're into fishing, which I know a lot of our listeners are. And, of course, we can't forget the fact that we are in a real estate market, and, of course, I've spent a career in real estate, so I'm going to have a little time here after talking with Trish yesterday. I brought in some numbers to kind of give you an idea of where we are in real estate in Reading. And I've had the good fortune to be able to travel to different cities in the state as well as throughout the nation and look at the real estate values. We're going to talk a little about how Redding is doing in comparison to Redding a couple years ago. And then we're also going to talk about how Redding's doing in comparison to some other cities. I was asked yesterday to put a value on a home in Redding that was purchased by these folks about 5 years ago, and I'm in the process of doing that, and a little bit of a surprise. Our values haven't gone up as much as we would like. We'll talk a little about that. And then after the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have one of our local lenders come in and talk about interest rates and the various programs that are available for mortgages. So stay tuned. I hope to be a little bit give you a little bit of information about the real estate market, the current status of the market, and then we'll talk a little about opportunities to buy a home. That, in turn, we are anticipating a call from our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Doug was up in the North State last night on a presentation in Fort Jones, and we're hoping that he will call in because I wanted to ask him a question that also has been on the minds of many, what his take is on the Brussels terrorist situation a few days ago, and what's his attitude being our congressional representative here. And then also, and Bob and I were talking about this earlier along with Jared, I think all of us are a little concerned about these petty comments, if you will, between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And now the wives and the families are involved. I just see, to me, that's unacceptable. We have too many big issues, and I would be interested in asking Doug what he thinks about that. You know, Jared and I were talking about this. I can't believe there's not a staff member on either one of their teams that wouldn't tell them to knock it off. Just cool it. You know, that's not really what we're looking for in a presidential candidate, to start taking shots at each other's wives. And it really disappointed me, quite frankly, because I was thinking both of these candidates are doing a good job in terms of presenting what they're going to be offering, and then all of a sudden this starts up. And I just think it's unnecessary. It really spoils the campaign issues. And I wanted to get Doug's take on that. So we'll see. And by the way, if any of you have an impression on that, feel free to call 605-4567. I'd like to see that I'm not alone in that thinking. Certainly the people I talked with yesterday agreed with me, but I guess I'm in my own little crowd from time to time. And speaking of yesterday, I took a drive, 299, to go over to Weaverville to look at a piece of property over there. And if you haven't been to Weaverville in the last 4 or 5 months, well, I'll warn you in advance, be prepared for a delay. However, I'll also say they are doing a magnificent job in moving that traffic along, and you can see the work that's being done. This is a huge project, certainly one of the largest projects in Northern California, and that is to, in essence, straighten out 299. Now you say, well, how straight are they making it? Well, you know, with a natural gorge like we have going through there with the river, and it's a beautiful area, as we call it, the Trinity Alps, you really can't do a lot in certain areas. You're stuck by the natural boundaries. But what they have done is that they widen it. They're trying to straighten out some of the curves, and they're doing a wonderful job. And we waited in line probably only about 10 minutes, which is a short wait to go that distance. So be prepared. You'll have a little delay. You come down to one lane where they're having construction teams working, and they were working right up till about 4 o'clock yesterday. I don't know what their schedule is for the weekend. You might give Cal, go on the internet and check with Caltrans. They'll probably have a schedule. But it's a gorgeous trip over there to Weaverville. Of course, once you get up to the summit, then from that point on, it's clear sailing right into Weaverville. And again, if you haven't been in Weaverville, a wonderful opportunity this weekend to go over and see the community. It's growing. They have the new Performing Arts Center, which is very impressive just as you go into town. It's one of the finest venues in the North State. It's just very, very impressive. And, of course, they have a number of new buildings and new areas. They've got a new signal there at the New Tops Market. It's a fun community. It's growing. It's a great place to go. So so you're in for a good weekend, and we're looking forward to our next segment here, which will be on sports. We're going to take a brief intermission, and then we're going to be talking to Kyle DeFore about sports in the North State. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Welcome back, Redding and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent and for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio on this Good Friday. Friday morning, early, 47 degrees in Redding, a little cooler out in the outlying areas. But a beautiful, beautiful morning and a beautiful weekend coming up with Good Friday activities, as I mentioned, at the Civic tonight at 4, 6, and 8 o'clock. It's called One City, One Church Service. It's kind of coordinated by the Stirring Church, but the entire community is invited. And then also at the Neighborhood Church tonight at 7 o'clock, there will be a Good Friday service, and that church is over on Loma Vista, so there's plenty of activity this afternoon going on. And for those of our listeners that did not hear it earlier, the Bethel service tonight is canceled in that they're having the big service over at the Civic Auditorium. And again, it's at 4, 6, and 8 p.m. and to celebrate Good Friday. Well, we're in for a big weekend of sports activities, and our guest now is becoming more familiar on KCNR, and that is Kyle DeFore, and you have a sports show, and welcome, Kyle.
Good to be with you. Happy Good Friday.
Yeah, thank you. So you have a sports show.
Yeah, we're every Tuesday night here on KCNR 1460. You can also listen on KCNR1460.com. It's the NorCal Sports Hour. We do A's, Giants, Warriors, Kings, 49ers, and Raiders for as long as they're still in Northern California, at least one more year here to be determined. And then we do all of our local sports roundup here. We're going to have an interview this next coming Tuesday with Foothill High School head baseball coach Todd Buck. And we're going to have all of our full baseball preview for the prep roundup here, and we're coming up on a little over a week away from opening day for the A's and Giants, so it's the best time of year.
It's the best time of the year for baseball fans, mm-hmm. and you're going to be deeply involved with local baseball, and that's called Colt 45. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Colt 45s is a college-age summer baseball league or team that plays other teams on the West Coast. They go as far up as Portland, as far south as Marysville. It's Division One and smaller schools, guys from all over the country. We had a couple great guys from the University of Utah last year. Sports fan, loyal 1460 listeners will remember the last few years our good friend Nate Aberea was calling those games. I had the opportunity last year. We just started advertising with KCNR 1460 last April out at the store with Mighty Fine, which is my dad and my store out in Bella Vista. And we sponsored a weekend series with the 45s, and so they had me sit in with Nate for three games there. I got to do a couple more before the end of the season the last couple weeks. And then you and I had the opportunity to do River Bowl 23 last October with Shasta at Enterprise, which is a great game. And then just filling in for some people that had other commitments. And then we got to do the sections. I got to do the section semifinal at Thompson Field between Chico and Shasta, and then the section final down in Chico at Pleasant Valley. So, you know, it's kind of been a whirlwind 8, 9, 10 months here, but looking forward to doing the Colt 45s this summer. That'll be starting in June. That's down at Tiger Field. $5 a ticket, one of the best $5 you can spend all summer. It's a great, great atmosphere. The Colt 45s and the entire organization, Rick Bassetti and everybody involved over there, does a really great job. If you haven't been to Tiger Field in a long time, it's a lot different than you might remember. They've really, really made it a nice venue, and just really looking forward to doing that this summer.
Well, Kyle, having worked with you on football, I can tell our listeners that you are excellent at broadcasting, and you're a pleasure to work with. Colt 45s is certainly worthwhile to go see. They are excellent. It's excellent baseball. And I guess you could say it's leading up to semi-pro in the sense that these guys are good.
Oh yeah, no, these guys are legit. You know, we had, just in the span of a week last year, we had a walk-off steal of home. We had a walk-off grand slam. We had rallies, you know. These guys are, if you're down at Tiger Field, it's a major league size park. I mean, you got to really get it to get it out of there. They've had guys hitting it over the netting over to the Safeway gas station over there on West Cypress. These guys, they're throwing 90-plus. These guys are legit prospects that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years from now, you might see in a minor league system or even knocking on the door to get into the show. So it's the highest caliber baseball you can find north of Sacramento, Rivercats, AAA, Giants affiliate.
It is.
It's definitely worth the $5.
Well, it's excellent. Now, last year, I was part of a couple of different organizations that bought group tickets, including our Reading East Rotary Club. And it became a social event also, and we should be sure and let our listeners know that they can bring their church group, their business group down there. It's a fun, fun evening. And, of course, they always say, well, it's so hot. Well, you know, the evenings are really very, very pleasant. Mm-hmm. And most of the games are in the evening, if not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are really excellent players. There's a great feeling down there of community.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the improvements that Rick and his team have put together are very impressive.
No. It's really great. You know, for us being one of the larger areas that doesn't have a minor league sports team to speak of, you know, we've got stuff in Central California, but you know, it's the best baseball you're going to see. It's a great organization. It's a great time, and like you said, the group rates. We had Sons of Italy were out there. One of the games we sponsored. Like you said, the Rotary. They've had little leagues to get kids out there as well too. So it's really a great time and a great organization.
It's a fun event.
Mm-hmm.
Now you mentioned baseball, and for our listeners that aren't sports fans, we have softball that's going on out at Big League Dreams, and then we have baseball. This is hardball for those old-timers that used to know baseball as hardball.
Mm-hmm.
They have excellent pitching. The day I was out there, one of the games I was out there, the pitcher was pitching in there 85, 90 miles an hour, and he was very good. Obviously, moving on up. You know, here we have a big program in our high schools, of course, in Shasta College with baseball, and you're interviewing the head coach this coming week for Foothill. They have a very good baseball program.
Yeah, we're going to I'm going to be interviewing Todd Buck on Tuesday night. He's the head coach out at Foothill there. And they actually started the season 7-0. We're down in Fresno this week for a tournament, playing some really high-end competition down there. So a lot of the teams kind of play a preseason against different teams around California before they get into their regular season, which kind of gets into full swing in the next week, a week and a half, 10 days, 2 weeks. So we're going to be talking to him. I was going through my research for the show last week, and you know, it's one of these fun things about being from an area like this where I grew up here, went to school here. I found out that the head baseball coach over at Enterprise was the shooting guard on my junior high basketball team, and I was the point guard. So
there you go.
You know, small town. So I got in touch with him. We might have him on the show the week after as well too. So yeah.
Well, you know, a small town is true. However, we have some high school competition here that is really, it's moving up into the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of our people think, well, you know, little town like this, little schools and so forth, we are competing not only in football, basketball, but now in baseball at the state level.
Well, and that's one thing we really like to highlight on the NorCal Sports Hour Tuesdays at 6 here is, you know, obviously all our pro sports teams, you know, we cover in depth, but we really want to highlight the standouts at the local level here. We had our first interview in-studio interview with an athlete here was with Sage Will, who's a freshman phenom skier snowboarder team over at Shasta. She ended up being second in state in her event as a freshman. We were talking about last week this last Tuesday on the show, we were talking about the Shasta girls team, which ended up going down to state and playing number one overall seed that had like the number three scorer in the state.
Right, exactly.
And so they ended up losing that game, but hung tough into the second half. And so one of the better seasons they've had. They've got a great sophomore center who's their one of their best players, so they've a bright future for them as well. You know, this is an area where you know, we don't have a major public four-year university any closer than Chico. So, you know, unless you're going to go to Shasta or Simpson, our athletes kind of disperse after high school. And there's a lot of, for this area being, you know, Shasta County being 125 to 150,000 people or so in the surrounding areas, you know, probably similar amount depending on how far out your radius goes. We actually do have a pretty great pipeline for California schools, but really for West Coast schools all over the place for different sports, and it's getting better all the time.
Right.
There's a really great infrastructure here. Had an opportunity to talk to a couple athletic directors this week from different high schools as well. There's really a lot of great infrastructure here and support from parents and administrators and volunteers for youth sports, and it's a win-win all around because, you know, not all these players are going to play Division One or college ball for most high school athletes. You know, high school is as far as they're going to go, but you take those things that you learn, how to win with class, how to lose with class, and how to compete. Those are things that are very valuable, and so we have a really great infrastructure here in Northern California.
Well, we've talked a little about, and you mentioned the girl and women's sports, but mm-hmm. the girls, Shasta High School basketball team went mm-hmm. right on to state. Central Valley, mm-hmm. they were up there and competing at in the Bay Area.
Mount Shasta won their first Division V championships since 1992, so before any of the current players were alive, that was the last time they won their division.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And in softball, both Shasta College, of course, with Sonny Stupak, over the years, they've mm-hmm. been outstanding. And now Simpson is really doing well.
Yeah.
Their girls' softball team is they're competing. In fact, they're winning tournaments.
And, you know, Simpson has come a long, long way. I have an older sister who went there and graduated, you know, 20 years ago,
right?
When it was, you know, a couple dorms and a mess hall and some classrooms, you know, and it's just to see where it's come from where it began, especially from the athletic program. You know, Greg Catteray, former Major League Baseball pitcher,
right,
with the Yankees and Blue Jays, won a World Series ring with the Blue Jays, is the head coach over there. You know, they just do things at a really high level, and it's impressive to see how far they've come. Really.
So we have a lot going. Now, by mm-hmm. the way, if you want to see the sports schedule, I'll refer back to the paper. Every mm-hmm. every day we have a sports schedule of not only the national and the and what's going on with TV, but also local sports. Mm-hmm. And you can check it out this weekend. I know there's a couple tournaments going on. I know Simpson's involved in one of the tournaments. Okay, lot going on locally. You're doing a great job in getting the word out there. I'm a big believer in having a weekly sports show because mm-hmm. there is so much going on, plus our connection to the Bay Area. And we're going to talk a little about the Bay Area. We're going to talk a little about the opening baseball season with the Giants and the A's. Mm-hmm. And I've been to both of their fields, and they're wonderful games. And then we're going to talk a little about the Warriors, which is pretty exciting. And also we're going to hit up on NCAA because guess what? Oregon is still in there. They're into the Elite Eight, which is the first time they've been number one seed. So we're going to come back in just a moment and talk of some more sports. We'll be right back.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Redding's first premier sports club with a staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Redding's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
I can't give you anything but love.
And that's the way it is in Redding. You can't give you anything but love. And especially if you like sports, or if you love sports, I guess. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott for this Good Friday morning. And I'd like to welcome all of our listeners. If you've just tuned in, we are visiting with Kyle DeFore. I want to say our new sports guy in town. He's got his sports show on Tuesday night. He's going to be doing Colt 45 baseball. He's a sports fan. He knows sports. He's local. I know I've known his dad for many, many years and gotten to know Kyle, and we did a couple of fun broadcasts on football. But Kyle, we've been talking baseball. We've been talking local Colt 45s, but this coming week and the next few weeks, we're going to be talking big-time professional baseball, and you've got your cap on, San Francisco Giants, and I left my Oakland A's cap in the car, but I like both teams. I've been to both of the games. What do you think is going to happen with the Giants? Let's start with them.
Well, you know, this Tuesday we did our National League preview. The week before we did our American League preview, I picked the Giants to win the West followed by the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. And then I've got the Giants playing the Cubs in the National League Championship Series. I think the Cubs are going to have a great year, but I think they're 1 year away.
Okay.
That core that they have, that's a really great young core. Theo Epstein's put together a great team over there, but I think it's an even year. I think the Giants additions of Cueto and Span and Samardzija. I think Span is the best leadoff hitter we've had in 15 years since Kenny Lofton in 2002. This lineup is up and down. There are no weak spots. You might have Brandon Crawford with 21 home runs hitting 7th or 8th.
Yeah.
You know, he's really coming into his own as well. But there are no weak spots in this lineup, and the bullpen's coming back intact except for one player, Jeremy Affeldt. So I'm very bullish on the Giants. I think the A's are going to have their work cut out for them in that Western Division. The Astros are really strong. I picked them to win that division. The A's are going to have an uphill climb this year with that division being really strong. You know, I think you might see Sonny Gray traded by the end of July because the A's, you know, are constantly churning players so they can get out ahead of the free agency and not lose them for nothing because of the economic realities of baseball. But, you know, I think you're going to see a really, really spirited race in the American League, and I think you're going to see about five or six power teams in the National League. There's about eight or nine teams in the National League that have a realistic chance of making the playoffs.
Right.
And there's only six spots. You've got kind of a haves and have-nots in the National League, and the American League is just wide open.
Wide open. So yeah, you know, a lot of our listeners watch the games on TV, but there are some that have never been to the stadiums, and you know, of course, AT&T Park is in itself worth a visit. It's beautiful.
It's a jewel.
It is really, and the tickets. You know, here again, depending on how much you want to spend, but for the tickets up high, and oftentimes I sit up high because I use my binoculars. Mm-hmm. But I was on the left field. Down the left field, great seats. And I mean, they were what, $15-$18?
There isn't a bad seat in San Francisco, really. I mean, since the trend started about 20-25 years ago to build the baseball only parks,
right?
You know, in the 60s and 70s, it was let's build the multi purpose giant domes that all look cookie cutter the same, and
right.
We'll do baseball and football in the same spot. And you know, that's obviously out of style now, and baseball only is the way to go. And with the Giants and the A's are kind of two sides of the coin of the baseball economics of it too, because the Giants stadium privately funded, they got a $20 million mortgage every year that they pay because it's a very profitable team. They're always in the top five or at least the top 10 in payroll. I believe they're in the top five again this year. And then the A's, you know, have their tickets that are literally half as much,
right.
have frequently have the top draped because they're, you know, they're selling 25, right. 30,000 seats. And that stadium is just not a moneymaker. Now, part of the thing that I would say, and the A's have been great about keeping their ticket prices affordable, is a lot of the, you know, teams say, oh, we have to have this new stadium. We got to build a new stadium every 20, 25, 30 years at the most. Because it's a revenue thing. You know, we got to sell luxury boxes. We got to sell concessions and targeted this and targeted that. And, you know, if you're not one of those teams, you get caught in what in business we call a death spiral,
right.
Or a liquidity death spiral, right. You know, where it's like, well, we don't make enough money, so we can't spend as much, so we're not as competitive, so people don't come to the games. And for a lot of these places, especially after they build a new stadium, they have to jack up the prices, or they take the opportunity to jack up the prices,
right.
If we're being real here. And they price a lot of people out of the games. You know, I went to a 49er game one of our vendors gave us some tickets to a 49er game. I was actually at the game where Smith got hurt and Kaepernick got put in.
Oh, really?
In 2012. They ended up tying the Rams that game. And we were up in the second deck of Candlestick, which is gone now, unfortunately. And it was over $100 a ticket.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, you know, unless you're really attached to tailgating out in the parking lot and eating and drinking with all your friends and everything, I mean, why wouldn't you watch it on TV?
Right.
But and for baseball, you know, they said something like $400-something to take a family of four to an average game now, by the time you buy concessions and this and that and the other thing. And so, you know, you're going to drive away the casual fan and certainly the working class fan with these ticket prices. And the casual fan who's got the disposable income to do that – well, I don't want to go to Oakland because the stadium's not that nice.
Right, yeah.
You know, let's go to San Francisco. You know, and so they glom onto the front runners and the team that has a nice stadium. And, well, the Giants are usually better anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a big divide there.
Now, what you can do is get on the Internet, though, and watch the prices because mm-hmm. they do vary the prices by the game.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're playing a Cincinnati versus a Dodgers, mm-hmm. it's going to be a different ticket price. The other thing that I will advise people to do, and that is make it a full-day visit.
Mm-hmm.
Go down early. Get there a couple hours early. They got plenty of great food. Make it a family event type mm-hmm. of thing, and you'll really enjoy yourself.
Absolutely.
If you get in a time bind, yeah, it'll be a little bit stressful because
sure.
of parking and all that, of course, in that area. Well, we are also in a very exciting time called March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basketball. That's college basketball at its best. It doesn't get much better than this if you're a basketball fan.
Now, Ron, are you like me? Are you someone who tunes in like the day after Selection Sunday and says, okay, now who's good and who's not, and or are you all season in?
I'm all season
because
I like to follow our local teams at the Pac-12. But I also made up my bracket, and I got to say that I'm way off. I'm the only one I picked was Oregon to get this far.
I was going to say, did Kentucky screw you up too? Or
everybody, I lost the pool all the way around. I thought Michigan State would still be in there. But
yeah, they blew up a lot of people's brackets.
But March Madness is unique. It's on lots of television stations these days. It's kind of like whoever wants to cover it. But what this boils down to is that for our local West Coast, especially our Pac-12 fans, Oregon is looking real good, as is Gonzaga,
mm-hmm.
which is up in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both doing very well. They're in there.
Yeah, Oregon people kind of raised an eyebrow when they were given a number one seed coming out of the Pac-12 because people don't think that the Pac-12 is that strong this year as a basketball conference. So last night you had them against, of course, perennial powerhouse Duke, who's last year's champion. Different team this year with the one-and-dones guys come in for 1 year and then they're gone.
Right.
Very different team for Duke, not as deep this year. But, yeah, the Ducks beat the Duckies beat the Dukies last night by 14 to get to the Elite Eight. So it's the best season for Oregon in a long time. They used to be a powerhouse years and years ago in the 40s and 50s.
Right.
You know, but certainly in the modern era, this is their best run in a long time.
This is their best run. And also now, even though the Pac-12 men basketball teams did not do well, the Pac-12 women teams are in there. I think we still have six teams in there, and they play good. Stanford was actually in the paper again today.
Well, and that's what's great about this era too, with cable sports being what it is, with ESPN being all things everywhere at all times, the omniscient big brother of sports. You can see all these games and DVR them and watch them on your own time. You don't have to call in sick for work to watch the basketball games
right.
anymore. You can actually DVR them and if you can avoid the results online or on the radio before you get home. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You know, Kyle, you're obviously a sports guy, but we did have a request for a fishing. What was it? A fishing schedule? You talked with them, and we need to come up with a fishing broadcast.
Yeah, might have to work that in at some point on the Tuesday night show towards the beginning or the end of the show. But yeah, we've had a couple people ask about the fishing report, so
yeah.
I might have to work that in there.
You know, here again, fishing is wonderful, and we could mm-hmm. talk to the fly shop down there, get the latest that we
there
have.
You go. Yeah.
I mean, get them to bring us up to date.
Sure.
We've been talking with Kyle DeFore. Kyle is our on-site, on the radio, and our sports guy for Redding and Shasta County. He really knows his sports. He's young. He's been here, done that, played that. He and his dad operate Mighty Fine, good sponsors of the radio station. They're great folks, great community folks. And Kyle will be doing Colt 45 baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to hear all the games. And then in the fall, we'll be doing high school football, Friday night football.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's got a radio weekly radio show on sports, which is the only one in the North State.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to have Kyle in. And really appreciate you coming in early morning on Good Friday and sharing with us. Look forward to the opening day at Colts 45. And any final words for our listeners?
Yeah, if you want to check that out, that's at ReddingColt45s.com. 45S is the end of that, ReddingColt45s.com. And you can listen to all the archived versions of the NorCal Sports Hour from every Tuesday night at KCNR1460.com.
Good. Well, it's great to have Kyle in. We're going to continue with our show up through 9 o'clock. You're listening to KCNR AM 1460, your voice of the North State, Free Fire Media. We're going to come back, have a couple more guests in after a brief intermission, and then we'll be continuing with Good Friday activities. Be right back.
Time it rains, sand is from heaven. Oh, don't you know each cloud contains sand is from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers, oh, baby, baby. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. Here's the tennis from heaven for you and me.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. A new blast has been heard from a police operation in a Brussels neighborhood that once housed a hideout for the suicide bombers who targeted the city's airport and subway this week. Angela Charlton in Brussels has an update.
A Belgian state broadcaster is saying that two blasts were heard and one person was detained in a police raid in a Brussels neighborhood. Now, this is the same neighborhood where a few days ago police found a large stash of explosives in an apartment. And this apartment was believed used by the suicide bombers in Tuesday's attacks.
This week's attack, much more than just a news story, to Mason Wells. He's a Utah teenager you may have heard about who survived both the Boston Marathon bombing and the Brussels attacks this week. And he sees a higher power at work in the fact that he survived two very close scrapes with death.
I lived some very personal experiences during that horror ordeal. And you know, if there's anything I've learned, it's that if God, he can hear the prayers that I was giving out on that sidewalk as I was laying down.
Mason Wells continuing to recover from his injuries. One analyst says the consumer is back in the driver's seat with their foot down hard on the gas. Chris Rupke of MUFG Union Bank in New York reacting to today's report from the Commerce Department that the economy grew at a modest 1.4% annual rate in the final quarter of last year. Thousands of Protestants commemorating the crucifixion of Christ by following the path in Jerusalem's old city known as the Via Dolorosa. American pilgrim Alex Soto.
The holiday is the most sacred one in Christianity. And to be here in the actual steps that he took is all that more meaningful to me.
The Via Dolorosa through the narrow streets of Jerusalem's old city, the Good Friday procession, passing along what is thought to be the very route that was walked by Christ on the way to his crucifixion. More of these stories from townhall.com.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, a classroom answer could cost Grace Wesley everything.
They're looking to destroy you.
I'm not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
God's Not Dead, too. In theaters April 1st, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes available at godsnotdead.com.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
There's currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes at miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
Federal officials are encouraging generic drug makers to reformulate their painkillers. We get more from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The move is the latest in a number of steps designed to combat abuse of highly addictive pain medications like codeine and oxycodone. The Food and Drug Administration has published guidelines outlining testing standards for harder-to-abuse generic painkillers. The FDA already has approved 5 brand-name opioid pain drugs, which are designed to discourage abuse. But these abuse-deterrent painkillers represent just a small fraction of the market for opioid painkillers, which is dominated by low-cost generics. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
This latest proposal comes just days after the FDA said it would add a new boxed warning to some 175 immediate-release painkillers. Volkswagen and its Porsche unit announcing a worldwide recall of some SUVs. The recall comes even as VW continues to cope with fallout from its emissions rigging scandal. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Hackers have made off with some contact information of Verizon business customers in the latest breach of a big company or organization, as correspondent Jeremy House reports.
The New York telecommunications giant says its Verizon Enterprise Solutions unit, which provides IT services to big companies, recently found and fixed a security vulnerability in a client portal. Verizon says it's notifying customers. The company says no data about consumer customers was involved in the breach. A report from security journalist Brian Krebs says a post in a closely guarded underground cybercrime forum earlier this week advertised that a database with contact information.
That's Jeremy House reporting. Forecasters say the weather conditions could make it hard for crews to make headway against a wildfire that scorched sparsely populated parts of Oklahoma and Kansas. The National Weather Service has gusts of up to 30 miles an hour are expected throughout the afternoon hours. The blaze has consumed at least 620 square miles. More information at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Redding and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott. They are away for the weekend, and I'm filling in today on their show, and it's been a wonderful hour so far. We've had two wonderful guests. We had Haven Humane come in. Spencer came in with his pit bull, Pretty, and a beautiful little dog. And then we spent a half hour talking about sports with Kyle DeFore. Kyle is co-owner with his dad of Mighty Fine Foods and one of our sponsors, but Kyle's real love, I think, is, and his passion is sports, and he does a great job. He now has a sports show Tuesday evenings. You can listen in on that, and he will be doing Colt 45's baseball. And now we are in for a change of pace here. We're going to be talking with Larry Vaupel, who is the Development Services Director for the City of Reading. And as you know from my background in the real estate field, Development Services at City of Reading is a popular office because we are involved with developers in the real estate business, not only in home building but in commercial building. And it all comes under Larry. Larry, welcome to our radio show today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, Larry, you're relatively new in the job. Give us a little background so our listeners can find out who you are and how you got here.
Sure. I started with the city in early October, and before that I was down in Southern California doing economic development, and I grew up in Illinois doing economic development, commercial real estate, city planning.
Okay.
Those sorts of things.
So, where'd you go to college?
I got my bachelor's degree from Liberty University in Virginia,
right,
and a master's and PhD at Northern Illinois University.
And your doctorate was in city planning?
Yeah, it was in political science with public administration emphasis.
Okay, so academically you're prepared.
I guess so, yes.
Well, you're in the similar age group with my older daughter, Christy, who also went to Liberty.
Oh, great.
Back, in fact, Jerry Falwell, this little story for our listeners that some may remember this, but back in the 70s, Jerry Falwell, who was the founder of Liberty University, before Liberty University, used to come to Reading. And he would speak here, and he would he was a close friend with Royal Blue, who's a pastor, and Royal's still out in Palo Cedro. And if you're listening, Royal, it's I hope you have a great weekend. This is always a big weekend for any of the pastors. But Royal Blue and Jerry Falwell were very close friends, going back to Royal's involvement in Southern California. And Jerry came up here every year and spoke and was talking about this new college, at that time Liberty College, which became Liberty University. So it's good to hear that little personal connection there with you, with them. So Reading and development, a hot subject over the years, because we're one of those cities that has experienced some ups and downs, as many rural communities have. How do you like the first few months on the job? Are you challenged?
Yes, I'm really excited to be here. I think that, you know, I came at the right time. There's a sense of real momentum in the community, and we're starting to see just a pickup in calls and applications, and it's really an exciting time to be here.
It does look like, and I've used this term, it does look like momentum is working. And I know right, in fact, tomorrow on the radio show, which we will have for our listeners at 9 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to be talking with K2 Development, who's doing one of the downtown projects. Now, many of our listeners are not aware of what's going on down there, but I know this is a hot item right now of kind of redesigning downtown. and really to give credit to where credit belongs. When the mall was put together back in the 70s, this was really thinking in advance, forward thinking. It was what we needed at that time. This was prior to Mount Shasta Mall. But to bring people downtown, for example, to bring them downtown to shop at Dickers. So what's your take now? It's kind of changed. Things are changing in the philosophy of the city about the downtown area.
Sure. I think, you know, it has to adapt and evolve over time. And I think that's a natural evolution that I've seen in other cities that I've worked in. You know, the downtowns being the bustling hub of commerce, and then it moving, that bustling hub moving out to a regional mall area, and now we're starting to see that revival come back to the downtown.
And yet keeping the outside malls going, of course, like Mount Shasta Mall. So what? Where do you see the plans downtown? And we have, obviously, K2 development. They're looking at doing both a retail and a housing combination, aren't they?
Right. They're looking at a four-story building that'll be basically on the land that the Dickers building is located on. And it involves, you know, the reconstructing that parking garage that's underneath the Dickers building,
which a lot of people are not aware of.
Right.
Yeah.
And so restructuring that so that it can support a four-story building on top of it. And then we'll have on the ground floor, there'll be commercial space, you know, for restaurants and coffee shops and the like. And then the additional floors will be residential above it, 79 units.
Wow. Now, that's pretty exciting when you stop and think about bringing the population not only back downtown for retail and for restaurants and all the things that go with that, but also bringing the residents back downtown. Now, we have a couple of other projects that have tried that, and they're very successful.
Right. I think there's definitely that demographic of folks who want to live, you know, close to where they work, and within walking distance to shops and restaurants. And,
right.
And that, of course, the more people you have downtown, a 24/7 downtown, the more likely you're going to attract those restaurants and entertainment type uses.
And, of course, we do have kind of an entertainment corridor going, especially with Riverfront if they do continue where they are. But over on Court Street, a massive project is underway, and that's going to bring a lot of people down here. Tell us a little about, I guess it's called the new courthouse.
Right. Several $100 million project, as I understand it, and definitely going to bring a lot of people downtown, not only, you know, during the construction phase, but then after. Words, a lot of workers, you know, who work in the facility and kind of combined a lot of the county services to a downtown location. So
right.
That's going to be great for the downtown.
And the location of that now is going to be a location that's been very controversial.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, over the years, there's been some historical houses there, and they're being moved. But it's actually bordered by, what, Butte Street, and I think it's Tehama Street is the entire project there. Pretty much across the street from the Court Street,
right.
From the courthouse now. That's going to be a new courthouse. I guess they're going to have all kinds of offices in there. It's obviously needed. But that's going to bring people down to right down that downtown eating. Now, I know that the old RABA, the old train station, what's in the works for that?
Well, I think the immediate short term is they just want to provide some rideshare type of parking near their facility. But long term, they want to control that for, you know, a transit-oriented type of design development, which
right.
would be, you know, folks who want to live close to transit and not own cars and have some retail component and residential component.
And really, now that's in walking distance to what is being proposed downtown by K2 development.
Right.
Which now, and that also then leads us to what are they going to do about what they're bringing this, they're opening up the streets. I understand they're going to have some areas there where you're going to have tree and parking areas and everything right downtown. You can walk and Pine Street or Market Street is going to be opened up. Tell
right.
us about that.
Yeah, that's a big focus of, you know, we're working on the final touches of a downtown transportation plan. And then, of course, we're starting the process now of hiring a consultant to lead us through a downtown specific plan update. But both of those are really focusing on, you know, bikes and pedestrians and their movement through the downtown, trying to get people out of their cars and walk a couple blocks instead of driving from one parking lot to another. And so in order to do that, we're going to make it make it, very pleasant for them to do so, very easy for them to do so. So some of the streets will be reopened, but they're not going to be for 40-mile-an-hour cars. They're going to be for, pedestrians, bikes, slow-moving vehicles.
Right. Now, Larry, I'm impressed by your youth, if I can, and also by the fact that in leadership at the city right now, including what we're seeing coming up for the city council, we have a young leadership group. And I think that's very exciting. Having been in some of the other cities like Livermore, for example, which were old cities that went into the downtown area, completely redid them. Very impressive. So I see this as a very positive future. And I know with your attitude coming in from where you've been and your experience and so forth, I want to talk about a little bit about where you see the city going in the next few years in terms of development. We're going to take just a brief intermission, then I'll come back and ask for Larry's vision of Reading. We'll be right back.
Save the date, May 20th. Chicks and Chaps is right around the corner. Deadline for purchasing tickets is May 1st. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and the tickets are selling fast. Chicks and Chaps and the Reading Rodeo Association Auxiliary are holding their 5th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Fundraiser. There will be awesome raffle prizes, a one-of-a-kind buckle from Montana Silversmith, great food by Mary's Pizza, fun and informative guest speakers, including a breast cancer survivor. The proceeds from our event benefit Mercy Foundation North and NorCal Think Pink. Special thank you to Sierra Pacific Foundation, Cinerama, and Dutch Bros. Purchase your tickets now only online before they sell out at www.chicksandchapsreading.com. Chicks and Chaps, May 20th.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Easter is this Sunday, March 27th. Join me with my jazz ensemble featuring Bernie Baker on guitar and Bruce Kalin on bass. Hi, this is Linda Bott. This Easter, we'll be singing and playing our favorite jazz standards on the veranda from 11 to 2. On this Easter Sunday, View 202 will feature a special Easter menu. So join us and call 226-8439 for reservations today.
Good morning, Reading and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. We've been talking with Larry Vaupel, who is the development director for the city of Reading, a very key position right now as we see Reading moving ahead with a certain amount of momentum, if you will. I like that term because I can see it happening with young leadership, and Larry's part of that. Larry's new to us, came to us from the Midwest via Liberty University and a few others, got his doctorate degree, so he knows academically what it's all about. And Larry is going to talk for a moment about what I think is very, very important, and that is the vision of the city of Reading. Where are we going? We have some great projects going. So, Larry, give us a little idea of where you see the Reading going in the next few years, some of our projects, and bring us up to date there.
Sure. I think it's important, as staff, our role is to implement the community's vision. And so that's part of the downtown specific plan process that we'll be going through. We'll be kicking that off in May or June. And that's an opportunity for the community to come out and tell us about their vision for downtown. What do they see in their downtown, 10, 15 years from now? And so we definitely want our community to be involved in that process. But just when we talk about momentum, there's just so many exciting things happening right now. And I truly believe success breeds success. And so right. It's just starting to pile on. You talk about the Sheridan Hotel that's under construction. The Dignity project that may be moving forward very soon along the riverfront. And when these things start to combine, and then you got the courthouse, and if K2's under development all at the same time, I mean, we could see three or four cranes moving around downtown Reading, and that's pretty exciting.
And that's a first time.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, one of the projects that I was involved with, in fact, spoke to the Planning Commission, was the project out on 299, the Bethel expansion. And, of course, as I've mentioned on my other show, Bethel is not just a church. It's an economic factor in our community. They bring a lot of people in for their activities. These people end up renting and buying properties. They become commercial business operators, if you will. It's more than just a church, obviously. And I know that project is getting a lot of attention. One of the calls that I got, and I really respect the people out there that live in the Bella Vista Water District for making this known, their concern is water. And I know this is one of the things that Bethel is very much concerned about. They do not want to do anything that is going to harm any of the residents. It's obvious, and they're working to that end. Where are they in that project?
Right. So they have to do what's called a full EIR, environmental impact report. And so part of that process is basically you have consultants doing all sorts of reports, whether they be environmental or sound and noise and traffic and water. I mean, all of these reports are being done by different consultants, and all of that's being brought together under one economic impact report. So right now we're kind of waiting on the findings from those consultants to see what the impacts are going to be.
Yeah.
Of course, as part of the CEQA process, they'll have to mitigate any sort of impacts. So,
So
whether that be street widening or paying traffic impact fees, those sorts of things can help mitigate some of the those concerns. And I know one of the analysis that they're doing is looking at if the property was to develop residentially, which it's zoned to be a residential subdivision, what would the water impact be under that scenario, and compare that to the water impact they will have. And so we'll be able to see, what that rezoning, what the impact of that would be.
And that's really important. In fact, the call that I got, that was kind of the comment that I made to them, was that it is zoned for many, many residents in there, which could have a significant effect on the Bella Vista Water District. What I would encourage our listeners to do, if you are in the Bella Vista Water District, is make your concerns known to the district officials. And they, in turn, will work in partnership and cooperation with the city of Reading, which makes it nice. Now, the other project, and this will be the last one I'll ask you about, I'm putting a lot out there for you, but the Dignity Project, because this is going to impact a lot of people, a lot of jobs, and a great area. So tell us a little about where that is right now.
Very exciting. We're, the council gave staff the approval or the authority to go ahead and negotiate a sales agreement with the folks at Dignity for some property that the city owns down behind the old Raley's market, right?
Okay.
So, we're now fine-tuning that and drawing property lines, and so we can get exactly what's going to be left for the park and open space area and what will be owned by Dignity.
Wow.
So that's coming to the finish line pretty soon.
That in itself is going to change the nature of that area. Well, Larry, it's been a pleasure to have you in here and to talk a little about what's going on with development. We have been talking with Larry Vaupel, who is the Development Director of Development Services Director. Larry, if folks have a concern, how can they get a hold of you? Where should they come to voice their concern and find out what's going on?
Sure. Come to the Permit Center. It's at City Hall, 777 Cypress.
Right. And the permit center is right adjacent to the main entrance there. They're extremely user-friendly. Your girls are so good out there. They just do a wonderful job of meeting and answering questions. And many of the questions can be addressed right at the counter.
Right.
They have access to the computers there, so they can come in and see Larry. Larry, thank you for being in Reading, and thank you for coming in today. And I can see you've got your plate full. It's going to be an exciting time. And really, it's an exciting time for Reading. There's no question about that. So we've been talking with Larry Vaupel, the Development Services Director for the City of Reading, and I'd like to thank him for coming in. And we're going to take a brief intermission here for just a quick break, and then we're going to have two more speakers come in. One is going to be quick. We're going to bring you up to date on current mortgage financing. This came up yesterday in the meeting with when they had the guest in yesterday that was visiting with the host, and I want to bring it up again today because right now is a good time to think about if you're looking to either refinance a home or to buy a home, this is a good time. And then also we're going to talk a little about, we had a question come in about Zillow, and I want to just make an observation that Zillow is relatively accurate, and I say that because they try to keep on top of current sales. The best way to find out a current neighborhood value is to call a local realtor. Quite frankly, we have some numbers. In fact, I'm going to give you some numbers at the next segment of our show about where we are in comparison to where we were a couple years ago. And really, we are moving up. It's slow. It's not like it is in some of the other metro areas, but we are moving up in value. But the best value and the best way is that we can you can get a good idea if you call a realtor. And then we have an incoming call from a very special person, Doug LaMalfa. And Larry, again, thanks for coming in. And I'm going to talk with Doug now for a moment, and then we'll take a break. So let's bring Doug on right now. And thank you, Larry. And Doug, greetings.
Good morning.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling. Boy, you guys are really on the hot seat these days. So much is going on. And I just wanted you to have a chance to tell the listening audience a little about, you know, what's your take on this whole situation with the terrorists in Brussels. What a tragedy that was. And then the other question, which we've all been joking about here this morning, is what's going on with these two candidates talking about their wives? That's weird.
That's just National Enquirer stuff there going on. I really haven't wanted to pay any mind to it because it doesn't advance the cause for anybody, especially if you are looking for a Republican alternative in this November election here. Doing this stuff is just stupid, counterproductive nonsense. I mean, hey, come on, guys, back off here a little bit. Somebody's going to have to be a choice here,
yeah.
You know, and
well,
it's going to be a binary choice in November.
You know, I can
either a Republican or a Democrat, which one?
Yeah, I can tell you that we'll give you an amen on that. We've been talking about it here on the office for the last hour and a half. And quite frankly, it's like, come on, guys, we've got some issues in front of us. Well, one of those issues is obviously terrorism. And that was a tragedy in Brussels. I just kind of wanted to get your take as to, you know, where do you see our whole efforts to counter the terrorist activity going these days?
Well, I don't see nearly enough being done because every time a terrorist activity happens, someone was quick to rush out and say, well, we don't believe it has anything to do with a particular religion or this or that or the other thing. Like, well, come on, guys. It is, you know, I don't impugn a whole religion, but there is people that are a subtext of that group that are doing this stuff constantly. And so, when we're talking about our own immigration or migration or refugee things going on here in this country, then we need to have a vetting process. It needs to be very firm, very stern, of not people by their religion or by whatever, you know, their race might be or whatever, but by where they're coming from.
Right.
Are they coming from known areas of likely terrorist activity? Are these all young men of military age, which it appears to be? Because Europe has been bending over backward to try and play nice on this stuff, and it has not been rewarding for them, obviously. So the Brussels thing is partly their own, you know, kumbaya efforts of all these all these recent months to, and their guard has been let down. And the United States, you know, thank the Lord for the Atlantic Ocean and what measures we do have of security. That's what's made the difference, because
yeah.
If we didn't have the Atlantic, we would have had a lot of wars and a lot of invasions over the years that, you know, at a time in the past where we would have been maybe ready, but we still would have had to endure it.
Yeah.
You
know, well, that's so
true.
We had
England, we had the War of 1812, we've had a lot of other things that could have happened, and we would have this, if we were connected to Europe, we would be still dealing with this massive migration coming from, you know, the Middle East, as they're doing up through Turkey, up through other areas, and completely changing the culture of Western Europe right under their noses. Sweden,
yeah.
Sweden. I mean, just check up on Sweden a little bit there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Culture has been almost permanently changed, and when you read these stories about the rape culture going on in that place, I mean, whose side is their government on? Angela Merkel there in Germany?
That's right.
With you know, so I guess it's just a symptom of a much bigger problem. In the United States, the only reason we're not feeling a much bigger brunt of that is because of partly because of geography.
Yeah.
Because their policy isn't any better. It would probably be seen as worse. Well, other countries are starting to have a revolt on that.
You know, Doug, I think, first of all, I appreciate your being on top of it like you are with all of our issues. And for our listening audience that didn't hear, we're talking with our Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who is in the North State. He was up in the North, far North State, speaking last evening, and is calling in this morning just to kind of let us know that, let our voters and our listening audience know that you are on top of things that are happening not only here locally, but also internationally. And
one of my colleagues from California, Devin Nunes.
Okay.
He's been in the House since 2002, I think it is.
Okay.
I came up in the state legislature for a while. I met him early on when we were both running the first time in 2002. He's a chair of a subcommittee on U.S. intelligence, and so he believes, this is his own opinion, but that there's a pretty good nexus with what happens in Brussels to Americans being targeted in this, because the hard points involved were there's a lot of proximity to American as well as European citizens. You know, I mean, NATO's based there. They did this at an airport. I mean, if you go after a hardened site like an international airport, then they're really trying to stir things at a different level. This isn't, you know, like you know, I don't want to call it a lesser target, but one that's just more random, or maybe a bus station like that. But they're making a statement here. This is ISIS calling out the European community, indeed the whole world.
Right.
And it's really, really time. You know, if the president, he spent 51 seconds talking about it at a press conference and off to,
right,
I guess, another golf game or something.
That's right.
While they're dancing around with the Castros and pictures of Che Guevara. So.
It's crazy. Well, Doug, we just got one call in, and this is kind of on the same topic. What does Doug think about Jerry Brown's border policy? And I know you do have an opinion on that.
Does he have one?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, we've all been waiting to hear what's going on down there, because obviously our borders are open. So,
well, when the state legislature has made moves to make it more difficult to vet who's registering to vote with another round of that so-called motor voter law here recently,
right?
Now it's all up to Alex Padilla to make sure that the people that are automatically basically being signed up to vote are being vetted as far as being eligible voters.
Yeah.
I used to sit when I was in the state Senate on the elections committee there, and the horrendous legislation that the left is pushing through there does little to make it's actually making it harder for our county clerks, you know, our elections office,
right,
registrar folks, to get their job done, get it done timely, because every time there's an election, they have a timeline of, I think, 28 or maybe 30 days after the election that they have to certify the election and pronounce it, you know, good.
Yeah.
So now you have people being able to register on the same day to vote.
Yeah.
They have to vet them. They have to go through and, you know, after the election, now take the impact of that. They have to decide, are there illegal immigrants voting? Is there people that are not citizens voting? And they're beginning, and it's like kind of like a, what would you call it? Just throwing chaos at it so much that, you have a project that is, you know, a voting project that is now less sound and less people have less confidence in it. So probably the law-abiding citizens are less likely to show up because they don't believe the election counts anymore. So
this
is the stuff you get. And so Jerry Brown, you know, the border policy is such that they're trying to do this. There's legislation down there to give illegal immigrants paid for health care. By one of the L.A. politicians. And so Jerry Brown signs a certain percentage of this stuff to get through. So I don't believe he has the best interest of our California border or the U.S. border as it doubles as. Because, you know, there was a coalition of states a couple years ago, all the southern border states that were trying to work together as states to be effective on it. And, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas to some extent or another did come together and do some stronger measures that they could at the state level. Of course, California was sitting that out, inviting people across. So it's not good. And I hope one of these days that the people of California will wake up and see what all this stuff is costing them, that the state legislature does on jobs, on security, on what how it impacts their schools. You know, Jerry Brown is still trying to do the high-speed rail project instead of any fought against getting water storage put into a water bond.
Right.
Instead, I mean, he's right now, he has in his state budget $250 million to remove the dams up on the Klamath right now.
Oh,
you, as state taxpayers, are going to help pay Pacific Corps to remove dams up there because they think it might help fish, which those fish are not even endangered anywhere in the world except on the Klamath River. They're fine on all the Oregon and Washington and Canadian rivers, but, oh, someone decided that the coho salmon is endangered on the Klamath, and we're going to go do these headstands to get rid of the dams and get rid of the hydroelectric power. I could go all day, Ron.
Yeah. Well, you know, Doug, I really appreciate your calling in. I want you to know that we appreciate the fact you're out there, you're on the front line, and I know today you're traveling. We wish you the very safe travel. Have a good weekend, and just keep up the fight. It's never ending, but you've got us behind. You have a large following here in the North State that's behind you all the way. And
I appreciate it, Ron. The people of Shasta County have always, since I really first got here in the State Assembly some years ago, you know, we reached out to them, and they reached out to me, and it's been pretty darn good for a long time. But what I would ask people to consider is that no matter who the candidates are on the November ballot, and yes, some are controversial, some are pretty loud and outspoken, and I'm already 0-2 on candidates I've endorsed for president, so
okay.
I'm kind of letting it settle for now on this. But we really need some help in Washington, D.C., and it's a binary choice. It's going to be either one type or the other. And, you know, I'll just say the words Donald Trump, the name. If it ends up being him, it isn't going to be all about him. He will have to come through us in the House and over in the Senate. And so that's an evening out effect on the whole process as the founders put in place.
Right.
That, we have checks and balances, you know. So no one candidate, no matter who he or she is or what party is, are going to do everything by themselves. So if that helps voters vote with a little more confidence, like vote for somebody that leans towards freedom, leans towards Republican values, even if you can't quite tell, because that seems to be the choices people are putting forward out of anger and frustration. So, you know, I mean, we'll work with what we have to work with.
Yeah.
We're down to that point now. So,
well,
Ron, I'll let you run. Thank you much for having me on.
And thank you, Doug, and safe travels to you. And we'll be right back after this brief intermission.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Not very far, just a couple hundred yards to the west.
So they can build a new and bigger and better showroom and service facility for you.
It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be incredible when it's completed.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved to 380 East Cypress while they build their new facility. So let's have a move-in sale.
All 2016 Kia Sorentos, 16 Kia Optimas, Fortes, Sportages, Souls, and Rios are priced to move.
Make no payments for 90 days on new 16 Optimas and Sorentos, Redding's go-to fun vehicle.
0% financing available on certain models.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every new car purchased.
And America's best warranty.
Head them up. Move them out. Come on in.
Subject to prior sale ends April 1st. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% offer, plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation fees, and any emission testing charges.
Well done.
Redding Kia has temporarily moved.
Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
Don't miss the moving sale at Redding Kia.
This is going to be good.
Wow! Rodeo. Steer wrestling. Team roping. Saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding, rodeo,
Redding Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Redding Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at ReddingRodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Redding Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to ReddingRodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Redding Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. Redding Rodeo.
Talk about me. Welcome back, Redding and Shasta County. This is Ron Largent in for Carl and Linda Bott. They are away for the weekend, and we have had a full 2 hours here. It's been exciting, wonderful guests, and now we're wrapping up with a very special guest. Pam Giacomini is the supervisor for District 3. We've known Pam and her family through real estate for many, many years. They've done a wonderful job in the business community, agriculturally. Pam, it's great to have you in. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Ron. I appreciate being here.
And I'll ask you the lead question. What's going on in the county out in your area?
Hey, we're working hard to make sure that we protect our resources.
Okay.
I think that's one of the major strengths that I bring to the board is the knowledge of our natural resources, both forestry issues and water issues, and how they're related. And he's adjusting my mic because I'm not, there you go,
there
perfect,
go.
Thank you. Much better.
Thanks,
okay.
Jared.
Yeah, you know, so obviously you remember, you know, the Eiler Fire, Bald Fires, and
right.
the things that we've experienced over the last couple of years, and then the big windfall that happened in February.
Right.
Right, so we've had a lot of forestry issues that we're dealing with, and one of the things that's really important is for us to weigh in and assist the Forest Service when they're actually going to do salvage logging.
Okay.
Because they need to get there. And there's a lot of people that will be opposed to getting out in the forest and doing that salvage logging. So if we as a county can weigh in and assist them and support their actions out there, that's really helpful.
Well, you know, one of the questions that came up when I mentioned to a friend of mine that I was going to have you in, that, Pam doesn't represent us. Well, wait a minute. You represent the county. You just happen to be in a district that's outside part of the city limits. But now your area, though, is a broad area, and that's why I want to talk about agriculture. We want to talk about forestry. We want to talk about water. You do cover. How far do you come into the Redding area?
I actually come into Enterprise quite a ways.
There you go.
Yeah, so we have a fairly large area down here. And obviously, you know, Palo Cedro, Bella Vista, a lot of the Whitmore area, some Millville, and then all the way to Lassen and Modoc County borders.
You have the largest, I think the largest area within our five supervisorial districts.
Correct, yes.
Now,
it's the size of Rhode Island.
Is it really?
Yes,
I didn't know that. I know water is obviously, in fact, even Doug LaMalfa brought this up. Water is a big issue.
It's a huge issue.
And I know that we're very concerned about it, of course, in this, because we are the source of so much of this water. What do you see? What's happening out there? What can we do as the voting public behind you to support you?
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so there are several initiatives going on right now where that would be helpful. I sit on the Sierra Nevada Conservancy Board. And I'm one of two subcommittee members who basically helped write a watershed improvement project.
Okay.
And what that does is try to make the public understand the connection between proper forest management, the water it produces for the whole state.
Okay.
And we haven't done a good job of making that urban-rural connection between the upper watersheds and the water it produces for the entire state of California.
Okay.
And so it's really important that we try to get the urban folks to understand that connection and that maybe they can help assist getting some forest management done,
right,
which
exactly.
will improve their water quality and their quantity.
Right, that's great. Now, I know with your agricultural background, you've been really deeply involved in the cattle industry and agriculture in general in that whole eastern part of the county. What's on the burner, the front burner, that you're concerned about with regards to that part of your job?
Oh, perfect. So there, the State Water Board and the Regional Water Quality Control Boards have been very active, and actually the state legislature has been very active in kind of adding more regulation to what we have to deal with. One thing that passed recently was SB 88, which basically makes about 12,000 people out there have to report, maybe some even hourly, how much water they're diverting or how much water is in their stock ponds.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so, for example, we have stock ponds, which are already registered with
right.
the state of California,
okay.
which we pay our $150
right.
for the right to be able to have them registered.
Right.
And then we have to report what the volume is. Well, this is a whole new layer that they're going to make you report. And like I say, in some cases they're saying, well, it has to be electronic and it has to be, hourly.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, we have a stock pond that has no ingress, no egress. It's whatever falls from the sky that fills that stock pond that our cattle can drink out of and that all the wildlife utilizes.
Right.
And they want us to report that hourly with...
That is ridiculous.
To what end? Yes.
That is totally
and so that,
ridiculous.
That's one of the things we're fighting really hard right now. We're actually working with Assemblyman Dolly to try to run a bill to reverse that.
Good.
So we're out there fighting.
Well, I know you mentioned Brian Dolly, and in fact, I was talking with his office earlier this week. You guys have to work pretty closely with the elected officials.
Absolutely.
And especially in your case, where you're dealing with agricultural issues.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have a regular contact type of thing with him?
We talk on a regular basis.
Do you?
Yes. We don't, we don't have anything scheduled.
Yeah.
But when something comes up, I'm certainly not hesitant to call.
Good for you.
And vice versa. I mean, he's in contact. We're in contact with each other often.
So what do you see as the challenges in the next few years that are on the front burner right now? You've mentioned a couple of things right there, but where do you see an area that we need to be involved in? We need to know what's going on, just like you've been speaking here.
Okay, so one of the things that I'm working on, I don't know if you noticed, but we passed a boutique winery ordinance.
Okay.
And that brought together a group of wine grape growers
okay.
who were on smaller acreages, but they're growing these great grapes, making wonderful wine, but because it wasn't zoned appropriately, it was 2-acre parcels.
Right.
They couldn't get their ABC license, so they couldn't sell their wine.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Oh, boy.
So,
wow.
So what we did is we created a boutique winery ordinance to allow them to be able to be in proper zoning, and then they can get their ABC license and actually market their product.
Wow.
So the next step to that is I'm working on an agritourism ordinance, which is trying to, embrace more business. People see an opportunity on their property where they can either have tours or they can educate people about agricultural issues or, whatever it might be, trying to create that business environment so they can do that.
You know, this is exciting to hear from my point of view because that's economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And we know now that we are increasing our number of grape growers in the county significantly, a lot up in your area. Manton is becoming quite a large area for producing wines.
Manton and Whitmore and Palisadro.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes.
And this is bringing in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing in jobs. It's the whole bit. So that's really exciting. You know, you've mentioned a couple of things today that are really time-consuming. Obviously, you're not a part-time supervisor.
Oh, no, no. No, not at all.
So who's running your husband running your farm and the ranch out there? You're in between Bernie and Fall River.
We're in Hat Creek.
In Hat Creek. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah, so yes. right between Mount Lassen National Park and Bernie Falls.
Yeah.
So perfect, right on the Highway 89
corridor. But you know, also, and for our listeners that don't know this, you're pretty local. You and your family's been here. Tell us a little about your background there leading up to being a supervisor.
Perfect. So my great-grandfather settled in Hat Creek in 1903.
Wow.
And it's really been kind of a focus of our family to make sure that we maintain the continuity and are able to stay agriculturally viable and economically viable. And so a lot of folks will, you'll kind of hear that, it's not in, agriculture isn't economic, environmentally sustainable. Well, if you've been there since 1903 and you're still making ends meet and the resources are in really good shape, I think we're environmentally sustainable. And
so
that's really a strong message. And so I'm fourth generation then, obviously, and we've been able to maintain our ranch. And wonderful to have my husband import him.
Yeah, and I like your husband. He's short like I am, so be sure and give him a special hug for me and
Absolutely.
Say hi. But you guys have been farmers and ranchers of the year, and I mean a whole bunch of different things that are very impressive. I know out at the each year at the fairgrounds there you have a recognition, but let the listeners know, I know you were what, ranch woman or farm woman of the year? What was that?
I was totally shocked. Fall River Big Valley Cattlemen gave me their Top Hand Award this year.
That's very significant.
It was very humbling and very flattering. I was, like I say, totally shocked. And what they kind of pulled together was, you know, my 30 years of service to the community.
Right.
And how I am very vocal in trying to help our rural communities and protect agriculture.
Right.
And it was very, very nice.
Well, congratulations on that. There you go. You certainly deserve it. But you also, before you got into the political realm, you and your sister ran a very successful real estate company.
Yes.
There in Bernie. In fact, back in the early 2000s, we established a partnership, my son Kurt and I, with you guys, and you were wonderful. You really know the real estate values in that area.
Yes.
Here again, your years working there have been well served for the general public. So what's going on development-wise? I know the big one of the big issues was the windmills up off of 299 there, but what else is going on development-wise in the Bernie Fall River Valley area?
You know, I think what we're looking at some challenges for those two areas in particular is water usage and development of those water districts. For example, the one in Fall River, which actually serves the hospital, it was put in the early 1900s.
Wow.
And so they have a lot of leakage and loss issues and just infrastructure that they need to work on. And so I was able to work on the Integrated Regional Watershed Management Plan for the Upper Pitt Watershed. And through that process, because we did that, we handled it locally, and it covers a huge area, obviously, the whole Pitt River watershed, but it was local. So I helped write the words, make sure we edited everything. But that gives them an opportunity, and they were able to get a grant through that process to be able to repair some of that infrastructure and do leak detection.
That's great.
And so Bernie and Fall River Water Districts are working together to do that leak detection to try to figure out, you know, what they need to do, where they need to do repairs. And then Bernie in particular is looking at some expansion. Fall River's looking at that, but the first thing is repair that infrastructure and then expand. Bernie is ready to expand. So.
That's wonderful. So you have your hands in a lot of different things going on out there. I know one of the concerns we always have with our elected representatives is how can people get a hold of you? You're obviously easy to get a hold of. I got a hold of you within a couple hours type of thing. But give them some contact numbers. What can they do if they would like to ask a question of you as their supervisor?
Absolutely. So my cell phone number, as you know, is 949-7588. I'm in the local phone book, 335-7016.
Okay.
And probably those are the two best numbers to reach me at.
Okay.
Also can drop me an email at the county or call the county office.
And you supervisors meet when?
We meet every Tuesday, except like the fifth Tuesday of the month, we typically don't meet. And then any Tuesday kind of after a holiday, often they don't meet.
Right.
And so...
But that schedule, I think, is on the Internet.
It is absolutely on the Internet. They can go to the county's website, and that schedule is always there.
Yeah, and if you have not been to a supervisor's meeting and you have a question about the county or just like to see how it works, it's democracy in action.
Absolutely.
It really is. It's I think both in the city of Reading and the Shasta and in the county, we are so fortunate that if you have a concern, show up.
Absolutely.
And voice it. And, I mean, compare this with the big cities where you can't even get an appointment in. But I know I've been to a number of the meetings on various topics, and I always find it very interesting.
Yes. And Ron, we really encourage people to come. We've got always have a public comment period time when they can speak in public. And, then it's on the record. It's on the web. You know, people can access it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And we're happy to do that.
Yeah.
And I have constituents call me all the time, and I'm very accessible. So, for example, we have there was an issue in Old Station where they wanted to do some road realignment.
Right.
And the citizens were really concerned about that because that's the headwaters for Hat Creek.
Right.
And they were really concerned about it. And so I was able to pull together a meeting with the community and with Caltrans.
Yeah.
And they found a solution.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. We have a question from one of our listeners with regards to removing the Siskiyou Dams, but I'm not so sure the Siskiyou Dams are in your area.
No, they're not.
That would be more a question for one of, like, for Brian Dolly, actually, I guess, if it's his area. Just in wrapping up here, I want to say, Pam, we appreciate very much what you're doing. We've been talking, for those of you that didn't hear earlier, with our District 3 supervisor, Pam Giacomini, and Pam has done a wonderful job in representing us. They can come in and talk with you give you a call or come to one of the meetings. Do you have, now, I know you guys don't have an office per se, but contact the county, and then they can get a hold of you through that.
Yes, we actually do have an office. I do have an office in the county building.
Oh, do you? Okay.
But, I'm 70 miles away.
Yeah.
And I would much prefer people just call me at home or call my cell phone.
Yeah. And you can really ask her any question you want to. Pam is very, very open about everything. One of the reasons I was involved with supporting you was that I know you're for real. What you say is what you get with Pam.
There you go. That's right.
and
sometimes you might not like it, but by golly, it's going to be
again, democracy in action.
Yeah.
Well, Pam, I really appreciate you coming in. Tell your husband I said hello, and keep up the good work out there. And if we can be of any help, let us know to support you. You've got obviously a lot of very, very important things going. So we just wish you the very best, and thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, Ron, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And have a happy Easter and a good holiday.
Yes.
And we're just about ready to wrap up for today, but I wanted to mention also we have some Good Friday services that we wanted to remind you of again. Civic Auditorium, One City, One Church. It's a combined service for all of the folks that live in the city and in the county to come in. It's 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 o'clock tonight, Civic Auditorium. And then we have over at the Neighborhood Church at 7 o'clock, they have their Good Friday service. And, of course, then on starting on Saturday afternoon at a number of churches, we have services that run Saturday afternoon through Sunday at various churches around town. So there's plenty of activity. You can almost, if you go online, search Good Friday or Easter in Reading, it'll come up with everything imaginable. We've had a full day today, and I just have one little question left that I want to bring up because I mentioned I'd bring this up at the beginning of the show, and that's dealing with real estate. We had a call yesterday when Trish was in here about how's the market right now. Well, I want to give you a couple of statistics here to wrap up the show. In February of 2013, so that was 3 years ago, we had on the market 215 homes on the market. 215 homes, and that month we sold 112. This past February, we had almost four times as many homes in the market, 831, and we sold 181. So we increased it by one-third. That's what's happened in 3 years. Has the price gone up? Yes, it has. Back the average price back in 2013, for this identical home was $216,000. Right now, that average price is $234,000. So you can see that things are really much better than they were, mm-hmm. not dramatically like you see in some of the other areas. Now, the other question that's come up is, why are the prices going up in Sacramento and the Bay Area so rapidly and over on the North Coast, and they haven't gone up in Redding yet? We are waiting. It will happen. It happened in the early 2000s. It takes a while for that group of people that are selling there to decide they want to move up into this area. A couple of factors that are really important up here, and we'll probably see this in the next few months. We get an influx of buyers coming up here in the spring and into the summer and actually into the fall. And as home values rise in the other areas, people decide they want to relocate, they can come to Redding and get a home that's still very affordable. And I had a good example of this. A home here that would sell for $250,000 just recently sold in Rohnert Park for $750,000. So you can see, and that's over on the North Coast, north of San Francisco. So we're a little behind the curve in California. So it's a good time to buy right here still in Redding. And if you're looking to buy, in fact, James Luna was in here earlier from Gold Star Mortgage, and he has a number of, he's one of our show sponsors, and I'll give more detail on this tomorrow morning at the 9 o'clock show on Saturday, but he can talk about the home buyer programs that are now available. There's some very good shows, very good programs out there if you're looking to buy. So now, should you put your home on the market right now, or is the price going to go up? Well, I think it's safe to say that the prices will be going up. I can't put a time schedule on that, but if you don't have to put it on the market right now, sit it out a while, because we're going to be dealing with a supply and demand up here. We are getting more homes. It's not what it is in some of the other areas, like we see in the Woodland area and down around Vacaville. You see all those homes being built. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. So I'm very encouraged. We see real estate development coming in. We've had a wonderful show today, folks. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to KCNR. Carl and Linda Bott are off today. I'm Ron Largent, and we've had wonderful guests. And I'll exit the station here with Pam Giacomini, who is our supervisor for District 3. And Giacomini, I always get the name wrong. I'm not good with names, Pam. You know that. But I know Pam. And Pam is wonderful, our district supervisor from District 3. We had Kyle DeFore in here to talk about sports. We had Larry Vaupel in here, our city Reading development director. And we started off the show with the good guys from Haven Humane. We've had a wonderful show. Have a wonderful Good Friday and a wonderful Easter weekend. Happy Easter to all. And we'll be seeing you later on.
So is responsible for some external affairs and plots.
And there is word today that at least two Americans are among the 31 people killed in this week's terror attacks in Brussels.
They pose no threat. They wished no one any harm. They were simply going about their lives.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Brussels, where there have been more anti-terror raids carried out today. Thousands of Christians commemorating the crucifixion of Jesus by following the path in Jerusalem's Old City, where, according to tradition, he walked on the